Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area and clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, please visit my blog, www.blueprintforwealth.org, for more information on estate and business planning and tax topics. Also, tune into the Washington Business Journal for my Blueprint for Wealth column, which appears once every month. Today, we're going to talk about life insurance planning for closely held businesses. Now, the uses of life insurance when you're dealing with a closely held business are so numerous that we really can't account for all of that in a 15-minute radio segment. But you need to ask some questions, and the variables affecting the life insurance needs of a business are going to be answered by some of the following questions. What kind of policy are you going to purchase? How and by whom will the life insurance policies be owned? And how and by whom will the premiums be paid? How will the funds derived from the use of the insurance, whether policy proceeds or cash surrender value, be used by the business? We're going to talk a little bit about the uses of life insurance in closely held businesses today. First and foremost, you have to ask, when you're looking at using life insurance in a closely held business, why do you need the insurance? What does it serve? What are you going to accomplish? Well, one common purpose in a business for life insurance is to provide key person insurance. This protects the company from the loss of a key employee. Many times, much of the value of the business is tied directly to the key employees, particularly in a service business. So to combat the difficulty that arises when a key employee dies, the loss of that person, a closely held business is going to buy life insurance on its key personnel, on its essential people. The policy would be owned by the company, and the company is the beneficiary of the life insurance. Now, a company might buy some form of whole life or permanent life insurance policy for key person coverage. But most commonly, when you're buying key person insurance, buy term insurance to fill the need. The reason is it's a lot less expensive to buy term insurance compared to buying a policy that has cash surrender value like whole life or other permanent life. The coverage is desired to help you face the challenges that you're going to face when you lose a key employee, so that it'll provide you with cash to fund operations during the transition period following the loss of the key employee, the death of the key employee. It doesn't necessarily provide for a planned cash need in the future. It's just going to help you go out and hire somebody, keep the business running when the key employee is gone. The expense of policy premium payments has to be planned for by the company. Now, the Internal Revenue Code denies the company the ability to deduct the payment of the premiums, so you've got to use after-tax dollars to pay for the policy. This is a negative factor in anticipating whether or not to buy key person insurance. But it's offset by the fact that when you receive the policy proceeds upon the key employee's death, the policy proceeds usually are tax exempt. Again, when the policy proceeds get paid to the company on the key employee's death, they should be tax exempt. Now, watch out. There's a code section lurking out there. Talk to your tax accountant. Talk to your estate planning lawyer. Talk to your business planning lawyer. To avoid Section 101J, just make sure that you structure the key person insurance properly. There are certain requirements that have to be met in order for you to avoid taxation on the life insurance proceeds, and they're easy to satisfy. So that's key person insurance. What about deferred compensation. Life insurance plays a really important role in helping companies fund non-qualified deferred compensation plans. The fact that the growth inside a permanent life insurance policy, like whole life or universal life or variable life, these permanent policies, is not subject to current income taxation until it's withdrawn. And even then, in most cases, the policy owner will be allowed to withdraw his or her basis before recognizing any gain on the policy growth. This makes permanent insurance a really beneficial type of insurance to use in funding deferred compensation plans. In a typical life insurance-funded, non-qualified deferred comp arrangement, the company agrees to set aside funds each year by purchasing a life insurance policy on the employee, and it pays the policy premiums every year. The employee is entitled to pay the payment of funds on a fixed schedule at some point in the future. Usually it's retirement at a set age, or disability, or death. When the employee hits retirement age, say 65, the company begins to withdraw funds from the policy to pay the amount owed under the deferred comp arrangement. If the employee dies while the policy is still in existence, the death benefit proceeds are used to pay the remaining obligation to the employee. If there is death benefit in excess of the amount owed to the employee, it's usually retained by the company, or it may be paid to the employee's family, depending on how the negotiations work out in the non-qualified deferred comp plan setup. The purpose for purchasing life insurance is to fund an obligation from the company to the employee to pay this deferred compensation. So in most cases, the company will own the policy and it will be the beneficiary of the life insurance when the employee dies. Because the company is the owner and the beneficiary, there should be no tax consequences for the employee before the deferred compensation payments begin. Now, you have to comply with the very strict requirements of Section 409A of the Internal Revenue Code to ensure that there's no current taxation to the employee on this plan. Now, a discussion of that section is way beyond our discussion today, but a traditional deferred comp arrangement under which the employee has no right to access the policy cash surrender value until the retirement date or until certain events happen and does not have the ability to accelerate payment of any of the benefits generally will comply with Section 409A without going into too much detail. If some portion of the death benefit is payable to the employee's estate, or at the employee's direction, other than as a payment of deferred comp, the employee will be subject to tax on the value of the life insurance coverage provided to him or her every year. This concept is a way of, there is a way of funding this so that we can minimize the tax consequences by using what's called split dollar life insurance funding. Here are some other purposes for life insurance in a business setting for closely held businesses. Key person and deferred comp involves the company owning the life insurance policy and being the beneficiary. In both situations, the purpose is to fund the needs of the company and pay its obligations. When a company and an owner enter into a redemption agreement or a buy-sell agreement, it's for the company, or in some cases other employees or owners, to bear the obligation of paying for the ownership interest when the owner retires or dies while owning the business interest. Because the payments are only made for the ownership interest in the company, and no real asset is returned in exchange for the funds, these arrangements could create a considerable financial strain on the company. So to make the strain easier, the company often buys life insurance on the life of the owner so that the company or the remaining owners have liquid assets, cash, that they can use to buy out the owner. When the owner retires from the company, He or she usually gets a payment for the ownership interest over some period of time and plans for the delayed receipt of some portion of the purchase price for the ownership interest. It's possible that the life insurance, if it had any cash value, may be used to fund some portion of the purchase price, or that the transfer of the policy to the retired owner will satisfy some of the amount owed. Even with that, the main purpose of life insurance is to provide for a big lump sum that can be used to fund the buyout of an ownership interest when somebody dies. So it allows the company to continue to operate, free of any debt to the decedent owner, and makes the administration of the estate much simpler because it'll have cash rather than a closely held business interest. So the estate's happy, the family of the deceased owner's happy, and the company's happy because it has to outlay a lot, much lower amounts of funds. Another purpose of buying life insurance in a closely held business setting is to buy insurance on the life of a co-owner. That's known as a cross-purchase arrangement. We even structure these arrangements so that an LLC might own the insurance in which the owners will have a membership interest and will use the LLC to purchase the insurance and buy out the company interest or the ownership interest of the deceased owner when they pass away. Needless to say, this is a complicated area of law and tax law in particular. And so if you'd like more information about using life insurance in your closely held corporation, give us a call at 703-218-2100. Visit us on the web also at www.ofplaw.com. And lastly, please visit my blog at blueprintforwealth.org.